Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Hello, we've been talking about preparing our hearts to receive our purpose and calling, our position. And I started this a couple weeks ago because God had been showing me that in this season, it's kind of, he's calling it all hands on deck. And you know, if you were on a naval ship that was out to sea, everybody has an exact position. They know their position. They know that job. They may not know the others, and they won't be judged on the others, but they need to know that job. And if you're in a battle, you know, that's not the time to be, you know, goof around and playing games below decks, right? There may be that time when it's a time of peace, but this is a season where God is saying, all hands on deck, get to your post, get to your position, and be being prepared for the things that God will do through you. So there's a concept in the kingdom that one of the first things I learned when I was saved, I was standing at my kitchen sink doing dishes, and I saw a picture of a pipeline, and it was a pipeline that came from heaven and came into the earth, and God wanted to flow many things through this pipeline, but the pipeline had some junk in it. You know, it was like if you could imagine a pipe that had some rust and it had some junk and sludge, the water wouldn't flow well, and when the water came forth, it wouldn't really be clean water. It wouldn't be something you'd want to drink. And so Jesus said that out of your belly should flow rivers of living water. So that means a lot. And living water is absolutely pure, and it's from heaven. It's not just the plans of man or the ideas of man or some great study we've done and figured out. A flow from heaven, it's different than a flow that some human has figured out. And so I knew from that he was saying, do whatever it takes to clean that pipe out, to really clean out the stuff, so that I can flow what I want to flow in the earth. And so the first question I would say is, when you try to help people, is it rivers or is it just a drop here and a drop there? And when you try to help people, is it truly from heaven or is it just your opinion and your advice? You know, being on the receiving end when I was young, I was going through a lot of troubles. I had a lot of trouble in my life. And one thing I learned, I'm sorry to say, was that it was not a good thing to go to church and ask for help necessarily, because I would just get some very painful advice, and it was usually stuff I already knew, and instead of helping, it actually added to the difficulty or added to the pain of it. And so, and the reason was, you know, God bless them, they meant well, and they were probably thought they were helping me, but what they were doing was helping me in the flesh. And I don't condemn them for it, but one time a woman came along, she didn't even know me. I'll never forget her as long as I live. I think this lady actually saved my life. She called me at home one night, and it was late. It was, you know, you don't usually call people at 10, but she called me and it was 10, and she said just like this, she said, I don't mean to get in y'all's underwear drawer, but what is going on over there? God has had me on my face interceding for about 6 hours. Well, what she did not know, she didn't even really know me. She was just knew my name. We were both in the choir. And I didn't know her. I saw her. She would walk around. There was always a bunch of kids trailing around her, behind her. She had a large family of kids. She was a true intercessor and a prayer warrior. And God assigned her to me. And I, for the next 4 years, I don't really think I would have made it if it wasn't for that lady, and she helped me through it. But she never tried to advise me. She prayed me through it. She prayed me through it. And she, that was her post, her position. Now that may not be yours, but the point I'm trying to make is what she did came straight from heaven. She could never have figured that out. No one knew what was going on in my life. And you know, that lady carried me in prayer through 4 years of stuff, and I don't think I would have made it. Well, my point is, there's a ton of people ready to give you pounds of knowledge and advice, but you know that advice wrongly given, I'm sure I'm guilty too. I'm sure that I've done this to people I don't mean to. But I've seen both, even through me. I've seen when I spoke advice and it didn't help them, you know, it didn't help them. But I've also seen when I got the advice from heaven and it wouldn't have been what I would have said and it became life to them. It helped them because it wasn't from me, but more I was like a pipe and God was releasing something through me. And so if you can see the difference, you can see that the goal is not only to have a very clean pipe, in other words, do what it takes to be transformed, but also let your words be what God is saying. And there will be times if you get sensitive to the Lord, this is something you can grow in, something you can develop, but you can grow into sensitivity where you will think, oh, should I say this? And you'll get a check, don't say anything yet. And then the next day, nope, don't say anything yet. The next day, don't say anything yet. And then one day you're busy doing something else. It's like, okay, today talk to them about it. But you have his word to see. There's a lot of reasons for that. But the point I'm trying to make is the flow from heaven, it needs a clean pipe and a big pipe. And God wants to flow his mercy into the earth, his grace, his loving kindness, his healing power. You know what Jesus said in the book of John? He said, he who believes on me, the works that I do, will he do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father in heaven. Now that is just, that's like a statement of thunder. I mean, that is amazing that the Son of God would say that in the midst of his life, where he was healing the sick miraculously. I mean, a man who was born blind and was 40, you know, received his sight. It had never been done in the history of the world, and yet he was doing that. And then he turns and talks to his disciples and says, he who believes in me, he who believes in me, the works that I do, will he do also. So is it possible that Jesus would like to continue his ministry just the way he did it on earth? Some people say, nope, nope, he doesn't do that anymore. But he said, I am the Lord and I change not. That's what he said. It also says in the word, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I don't believe in this business of it was okay then and it'll be okay in heaven, but we don't do that now. God doesn't do that now. Well, I actually differ from that, and I'll tell you, not just because I think it's biblical, but also I had a situation in 1993 that absolutely physically was impossible. I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis and saw the x-rays, and I was in pain all the time, every day for 3.5 years. And it was not the first, but maybe the second time I had met Edgar Bailey. And I was sitting way in the back, and his hand turned fiery red, and he said it would feel like it would get on fire. And whenever that would happen, even if he was in the middle of talking, he would stop because he knew that God wanted to heal the sick. Now that's strange if you've never been in a meeting like that. But I'd been prayed for by many, many people. I'd been prayed for by famous people. We had a lot of, in the church I went to at the time, we were really blessed in that world famous people came through our church. And so had hands laid on me, I'd been prayed for, and to be honest, my faith wasn't not at an all-time high, but I did go forward. And again, I didn't know Edgar at this time. I've just, you know, seen him a couple times. I thought he was a little strange, to be honest with you. But he looked at me and he said, funny thing, but you know, God will heal you. And he reached around just with the tip of his thumb and his finger, just fingertips. And he reached around and went down my spine like this. Now, I do not know. I was never one of I had seen people fall in church when someone prayed for them. I'd seen it happen on TV, and I used to think, must be something wrong with me, because I never, ever fell down, never felt anything when people would pray for me. I'd be like, you know, I thought, oh, something's wrong with me, I guess. Well, when this happened, it was like getting hit by a freight train. I mean to tell you, a force from heaven hit me, and not in one spot. It's like it hit my entire body, and I flew straight back. There was a man standing behind me, and thank God he was a great big muscle-bound guy. That's a good thing. I'd have probably knocked him flying. Anyway, I went down on the floor, and when I got up, I was 100% healed from head to toe. That was in 93, so think about it, that's almost 30 years ago, and I have never had a problem with that again. Now that is a miracle and a healing. So to those of you that don't say God does anymore, I promise you it was God. The devil doesn't heal, and Edgar doesn't heal. Edgar didn't have the ability to heal. Only Jesus can do it. So I'm telling you, Jesus is the healer. And so, not sure how we got on that, but Jesus wants to continue his ministry, not just healing, but all the amazing things that he did. His desire is for people to line up with heaven, not just line up. You know, they jokingly say, get under the spout where the glory comes out. But what if we were to align our lives, but more than that, our hearts, our soul, our mind, so that we were able to be a clean pipeline for Jesus to flow through us whatever he wanted, right? Whether it's healing, whether it's a word from God. Have you ever had someone, a stranger, give you an impossible, a word that there's no way they could have known? No one knew it but God. I have. And I'll tell you what, the minute it happens, you know that God is real. I had a woman many, many years ago. I never saw her before, and I've never seen her since. And if I saw her today, I wouldn't recognize her. I didn't know her name. But she was praying for me, and she saw something out of my past that no one knew. My parents didn't know it. My family didn't know it. My friends didn't know it. No one knew it. And she started to talk about it. And at first I thought, what is she talking about? And then she said something that I thought, oh, only God could have told her that. And the reason was God wanted to heal me of something. He wanted to help me with something. So he sends a total stranger. Now, I call that God's fingerprints. In other words, his fingerprints were all over that healing and that word, because I knew only God knew that. Well, when someone comes up to you and gives you a word from the Lord, you know that heaven is talking to you, right? Well, what if you were the person that God could use, the vessel or the pipe? You know, God has chosen, we don't fully know why, but God has chosen to work through people. He wants to use his kids, and not just the shepherds, but the sheep. God wants to use all of his kids. Do you know that it pleases him when one of his kids can hear accurately and won't shut it down? Do you know a lot of times you do hear from God, but you shut it down because you say, oh, that's just my thoughts, or oh, I don't think that's really God, and you just kind of shut it down because of fear. What will they think if I'm wrong? Well, what happens if you're right? This is something you can grow in, but it's not just giving a word. It may be a discernment that will help. I have a friend that's very strong in the gift of discernment. I mean, very, very strong. And God has used this friend 1,000 times, so many times, countless times, to kind of give me a little warning when there's something I need to be aware of, because I'm growing in my discernment. That was a gift I had shut down, and for a dumb, dumb reason. But when I was young in the Lord, I had this belief system. I think it's fairly common with some people. And I believed that, you know, Christians just should always be nice. So we would always, the way I looked at it, if I knew someone had a problem, I would pretend they didn't have a problem so that I could be loving and kind, because I didn't want to judge them. And so it was like, make nice, everything is nice. And so one day, some things happened, and I got clobbered by someone who was in the church, a Christian supposedly, and they really did some evil things, and it really caused damage. And I remember saying, how did I not see that coming? I do work in the Word of Knowledge. Why did I not see that coming? And the Lord said, I've been trying to increase your discernment for years, but you kept shutting it down because you wanted to be make nice and think the best of everyone. You know, because I had been thinking the scripture, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. And I took that to mean, if somebody's a rat fink, you put on this filter and you say, oh, they're nice, I'm sure they're nice, they didn't really mean that. When that, you're just lying to yourself at that point. God's trying to give, he was trying to give me discernment. So I spent so many years shutting that down that I repented and said, okay, because there are times when we need to be warned, right? We need to know if someone's a wolf in sheep's clothing, right? We need to know, and there have been times when God has warned me of someone that comes in and they look like a sheep and they act like a sheep, but they are there to harm the other sheep. We had a guy for some years who would work the crowd. I don't mean to be mean, but I'm being straight with you. He would come in and would look for people who were weaker or undiscerning, and he would work them and manipulate them to get money out of them. And he would tell them his needs, and he would get people to give him money. And if you have a true need, it's okay to share it, but there was some very definite sneakyology going on there. And then he had a pattern of later actually speaking against the very people that helped him. And at first, I didn't see it, but I started to see the pattern after a while, and I realized this guy is a wolf. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. We need to deal with that stuff. It happens in the church. And it's not that we don't hope that they'll eventually repent and change, but we have to guard the sheep, right? We have to protect people. You know, this guy would have taken people, well, I won't go into it, but he actually had a violent streak, and he actually physically, you know, did some damage to a couple of people. And so I had to confront him. It was not fun, and he did not like it, but I had to confront him with truth, and I had to gently ask him to move along, you know, because I felt like it was not, like, if I don't tend to the sheep, I'm not a pastor, I'm no pastor, and I'm no shepherd, but I didn't want people hurt, okay? And so, anyway, how in the world did I get here? So discernment is important. And so everybody has these different giftings that God is developing. And one of the things I feel like these past few weeks we've been talking about is that we need to be prepared to grow and to be set free, right? When I started talking about this, I was talking about the pipeline that might be full of rust or junk. And when that happens, it can kind of clog. Excuse me, I'm just checking my time here. It can kind of clog that free flow of God's, either his word or his healing power, what he wants to do from heaven. Now, the good news is, as you pray into this, and as you work with the Lord on that transformation process, right, what happens is the flow grows greater and greater. And then the good news about that is, as that flow, that anointing, that grows greater and greater. People get healed, and you don't even know they're getting healed. I mean, we've had people healed as we just worshiped, because the presence of God was allowed to rule and reign there, right? Because if you really allow the Spirit of God to move, and you keep your hands off it, and you don't interrupt the Spirit of God with your big idea, then he's free to heal people. We had two, well, actually more than two, but two really radical, creative miracles, and we didn't even know it was going on in the room, okay? So the more you align yourself with heaven, and the more you pray into being changed. You know, a lot of people don't like to change. They'll pray the prayer, oh, Jesus, change me, I want to be like you, but then when someone confronts them with an issue, they just, no, I'm not dealing with that. I don't have a problem. You know, there's no problem. They just either deny it, justify it, smooth over it, or just flat absolutely lie to themselves. But, you know, for me, I want to change. I want to be made like Jesus. And I can look in the mirror and see that I'm not there yet, right? As long as I have something in my heart that isn't right, I need to deal with that. And so the process of change, it's not a bad thing. The process of change is what enables you to go from being just like all the other humans who don't really have any power in the spirit. Most, even leaders, don't have a lot of power in the spirit. But if we become transformed and we get the stuff out, clean our pipe, and begin to spend time with God and allow Him to flow through us, there comes a much greater move of God. You know, I think people look at it like, oh, God, just come and anoint me. Well, He wants to, but we have to learn how to position ourselves and purge ourselves. We have to be changed, right? And so whenever you perceive that you respond, here's just an example. Let's say that someone speaks to you in a certain way and you respond badly. Maybe you respond self-defensively or angry or irritated or whatever. God is not condemning you, and I'm not condemning you. I learned this looking in the mirror. But let's say you do that. It is a really good thing to sit with the Lord and say, what was that about? Why did I respond that way? And what can I do to get free? Because no matter, listen, if there's a problem in our responder, it's not their problem. If people were mean to Jesus all the time, they said horrible things to Him, but He never responded in an ungodly way, right? He always responded in the appropriate way. And if that was confrontation or wisdom, words of wisdom, words of revelation, loving, forgiving, right? When they were nailing Him to the cross, He was busy forgiving the very ones and saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Now, that heart is the heart of God. Do we have that heart yet? And if we don't have that heart, here's for me the journey to learn to forgive and not carry bitterness would be something would happen, and I would have to work through, you know, pray into it, sometimes for a while, and then I would get a release and be able to forgive. But I wasn't yet at a place where while they're driving the spikes, I could say, oh, you know, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But as you continue to pray on your heart being changed, listen, a lot of times we respond the way that we do because we were wounded. I mean, earlier in life, and we have a wound. And somebody gets even close to that wound, rare, you know, we go after them, or maybe our reaction is to go feel hurt and go hide, go mum, you know, just go silent, right? The silent treatment, you know. I forgive them, but, you know, nonsense, that's not forgiveness. That's a wound. And whatever your reaction, when you react in a manner that's not consistent with Jesus, it's not something to feel condemned about. It's something to look as a little red flag that says there's a little issue here, that either your soul has been a little damaged and you need to work with God on getting it healed, or you maybe have a wound that just needs to be healed, or maybe it's caused you to take on a false belief system. I have literally probably hundreds of teachings on the website to help you with this stuff, but the point is, don't just smooth it over and don't just ignore it or pretend that you don't need to change. It's everybody else's fault. I'm going to say this because I feel like I'm talking to somebody that has issues with rage and anger. God loves you and I love you, but God wants you free from that. And a lot of times when people have anger or rage, it's because their boundaries have been violated in a wrong way, right? Someone did things that was really should not have been done. And so what happens is we go on the offense. And so now anybody gets close and boy, we react because we're still reacting to that situation so many years ago. And so, but God wants us free. And for the sake of our families and those around us, God really wants us free so that we can respond like Jesus would respond. So spend some time with God and work with Him and ask Him to help you see what the issue is, what's the trigger mechanism, what's causing you to do that, and ask him to heal that. He can do it, and he can do it pretty quickly, actually, if you're just, you know, if you're able to see the truth. That's the biggest part of it, okay? So I feel like I've said enough for now. You know, God loves you, and I feel like he is preparing to use the body of Christ in unprecedented ways in this upcoming time. I feel like we're in a season where a lot of people are going to be wanting to know Jesus, people that weren't interested before. I believe we're coming into a season, I don't know the exact timing, but I believe that we're coming into a season where people who weren't interested are going to become real interested, probably because of world events. And so it won't just be leaders that can help them. It's going to be all of us, all hands on deck. People who never thought they were good at being a witness will be witnessing. People who never thought they were good at discipling people will be discipling people, okay? So you want to be prepared and ready so that you're able to help those, right? You know, Paul wrote to be instant, in season and out of season. That means when it's popular, when it's not, when you feel like it, when you don't, whether you're having a good day or not as good a day, to be ready, right, to talk about, to share the hope that is in you, to talk about what Jesus has done, right? Because these are unusual days, and Jesus wants to use you to release his glory in the earth, right? He doesn't just want to help you, he wants to help you too. But all these things I've said will turn out to help you and them. So as you're being transformed, you know, first of all, don't feel badly if you have an issue. We've all got issues. Everyone has issues. But what God wants to do is cleanse us, heal us, purify us of those issues so we can be a clean pipeline for his glory to flow through, because days are coming when it's going to be a blast to be able to release heaven on earth. I've seen God flow in ways, but I tell you, it's a rush. It's a rush of God's river flowing. There's nothing more fun. There really isn't. And so God wants to bring us all to that place where that just becomes the new normal, where that's what you do. The way he says it to me is you do it until it's like breathing. It just becomes what you do. That's what he wants for all of his kids. Hallelujah. So I love you, and God loves you, and we'll talk to you the next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.